That's when you pull half the other side of the curtain.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think you're rooting too. Right?
Yeah, he's got, you know, he's got two. Two cabins. Keep, it goes in between.
It's when you fork the one that comes by fairwell, yeah.
Yeah,
but
yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
right,
yeah, that's when.
So he spends the first part of the winter, or at least this winter, I think he spent the first part of the winter. He was going to spend the first part at Benny Creek and the second part at Windy Fork.
Yeah, they were building that camp, set up a tent camp in Windy. And then I stayed over and all the stuff was piled up in the ridge, you know, there at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Sections, you know, prefabricated sections.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Kelly was the boss, and I let him and his wife sleep and stay in the cabin, you know. And I went up in the tent with the boy. And we stayed there. His father-in-law was there too. Red Lucas, they called it. Lucas Red. And I was sleeping in a tent out there, you know, set up. And we stayed there, we drove out to the road, these things, and built gold devils, you know. And mm-hmm. built the gold devils and then put a shoe under them, you know. So all you had to do, when we wore out, you know, break that one off. Set for two insoles to bore holes, you know, and hold them on with wooden pegs.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Michigan bobsled, you know, but the skinners didn't like that at all. He couldn't handle it very good with the load, but those cool devils, you know, they make about two trips over, you know, they hit travel and everything, you know, and these wear out.
Yeah.
They'd turn it over with the blade, you know, for us, and then put it in with them, and then set it up, and it's wheeled again. And, I was sleeping out there in the tent, and it was a brown tent, a big tent. I just stuck it up. The right feet out almost from the door, and close to where the dog was behind me. And Lucas and Sam Kelly's wife, and Captain Sam Kelly, too. And no, Sam Kelly wasn't. He was over at the other end of the night. Well, one night I was just sleeping on the canvas cot, you know, and the tent was low, you know, I was right by the wall, you know. And I woke up, I heard the blindness cracking, you know, and here I see four big bear claws down here, right close to my face.
That's your attention.
And I yelled, you know, and rolled right off of the bunk and yelled at the tent. And then I didn't hear anything. I peeked out. I didn't have a gun. They were hanging in the cabin. I looked around carefully, you know, the bear had taken off. You can yell them clean out of the country.
Yeah.
I bet you got pretty good at yelling.
I looked down to the knocked on the door and said, what is it? I said, well, hand me out the gun. And I ordered a gun. That hand me out the one, the 31, and I had, I knew I had shells in the magazine. And he says, what's the matter? I said, well, the bear's been trying to get in and into bed with me. They come out. He'd come out and see them big claws, torn the candles, you know.
Oh, and well.
Big strips, you know. And you see, they'd given up, they were putting it out in my nose. The claws were.
Whoa, a little too close for comfort, I'd say.
So I said, you're going to stay here? Yes, I'm going to stay here. I don't think that fish coming back. He probably not been lost by now.
Really? Still running.
Still running somewhere.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, there was no more there about it, but everybody wanted to come and look at them little clone.
Oh, how bad. You know, the after the big fire that we told you about in 77,
yeah.
The big fire, it the lake really started to go down, and the rehabilitation people that came out as far as trying to see when the vegetation would grow up, they think that, and the geologists think that it was the fire sucked the water. You know, it was so hot of a fire, it sucked mm-hmm. water out of the lake. The lake is very, very shallow. It's starting finally to come back up now.
See, that little lake was very 4 feet.
Uh-huh.
During the years.
Yeah.
You get some dry season, it would go down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get wet season, try to spring it up again.
Yeah, it's starting to come back now. It was really... We had a big beach around the whole lake.
For many years, there was good beaches right
there. Yeah, see? Yeah, so it changed then, too, huh?
Then it comes up and isn't the beach anymore.
Right, yeah.
It had nothing to do with it.
Maybe it wasn't, huh?
Yeah.
Because it was always pretty consistent.
It's the amount of precipitation.
Yeah.
And getting up in the
mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, you didn't ever spend any summers at Farewell?
No.
No summers, yeah.
Not summers.
I mean, we've been there some summers when it's been up to 90 degrees, you know, I mean, bikini weather.
But early fall, I was always up to pick blueberries.
Oh, blueberries everywhere, yeah. My mother loves to pick the blueberries.
Blueberries and cranberries
mm-hmm.
and put them in the box. We used to get wooden boxes instead of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Put them up in the cast and let the blueberries, put them in a keg, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And some sugar in it. Mmm. Berries and then a layer of sugar.
Huh.
It'd get a kick in it towards the end too. You know?
Yeah.
But the cranberries, you just let them freeze.
Right. Yeah, they freeze for a while, yeah. Huh.
And you can,
that's crazy.
And you want to mess them and chisel them off with a knife or an axe.
Yeah.
Was there many salmon down in the river?
Well, there was salmon there, but... you see, they come up themselves, feed right there alongside cliff,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you've ever been there in the fall, that's what brings the bears down.
Right.
You know.
I've
you see, they all, you know, all gone.
Yeah, they're
there's nothing left. Anymore.
There's, we see a few around, but,
yeah.
but
not that many.
Down there by the bluff, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, the river changes so often. There used to be a deep kind of a slope place right in under the bluff.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Right before where you call Hell's Gate.
Yeah, you could set salmon there too, and get and if you get, and I think you could get some of them big white fish too.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a net there. But I knew there was salmon there. You'd be sitting there.
Did you used to go up to Pike Lake? That lake by what do they call it?
By Post Lake by. Egypt.
By
no,
Egypt
by
Mountain.
Egypt. The little lakes
they had
behind
pike,
Egypt.
That hunting party called Nelson had the first time he was up there. He sent me up there with him a sheep hunter.
Mm.
Yeah, there was a Polish priest from Detroit. And then there was a fellow named Freeman. He was from, he was with the Coca-Cola Company, Alabama something.
Mm. There's still, on the way up there, there's still some of your cubby hole, isn't that what they call them?
Cubby sets.
Cubby sets?
For lynx?
Yeah.
Traps?
Yeah.
Yeah, well that's a good set for lynx, it only takes a long time to go.
Right.
You're there in the fall and have time and everything to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to have any bait at all, hardly, then you got to stick
right.
your nose in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Your curiosity to kill the cat.
Really? Yeah. That's
the
truth. Yeah.
Mink too, you have a little hole, like a mink or green there.
Were there a lot of fox in the area?
No. Yeah, one year there was nothing but fox around.
Hmm.
I got 103. Oh, I trapped many more than that, but the wolves would pull them out, you know, and everything would pull them out of the traps, and you could never get a wolf. It was just a swarm of fox. Come to 103, and I got, that's what I skinned.
That's what you...
And then I got lots more that was all too up, you know.
When did you ever have time? You got that many animals.
But ordinarily, you get four or five fox, you know.
How did you even have time to skin everything?
And then, you know, I got about $8 a piece, you know.
Oh. So you...
And then the pretty skin.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones I saved, you know, there was a lot of them wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
But it was just migrating or something.
Geez, that must have taken up so much of your time to go out trapping, come back, and spend all night skinning your animals.
Oh, sometimes I got into that cabin up at the mouth of the Hartman, and I had 11 lynx to skin that night.
Oh, goodness.
I had 11 lynx in the traps. And I sat in that cabin and skinned, and the snow was coming down. It got 11 o'clock, it got 10 o'clock. The snow was coming down, creeping up the window, and it snowed 4 feet.
4 feet.
And the next morning, I gee whiz.
Couldn't even get out.
I was on my way back to my room, and the funny part of it was, the farther and colder I got to Rhone River, the less the snow got. And it hadn't hardly snowed at all.
Oh, oh no.
It's the way to come down over that Denny Creek, you know, and drop it right there. I seen it rain so hard you could just pour it down right there when I was building that cabin. And across the creek, that other stream over there, there wasn't a drop coming out. And these were running back through them that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Such a difference. Amazing.
I got that Tilly dog, he's kind of hairy.
Yeah.
Do you ever have a garden out there?
Oh. I had a garden at the lake for a while, on the slope there, in front of where the dog cubbies were. And I had, one year I had the most beautiful potatoes here, so a whole bunch of them, you know. I had them in bags, and everything. Phil McDonald, he had a little airplane, and he was deputy marshal. And the guy, he used to come up, you know, and he'd come up and I cooked them up, you know, and they were soggy as the dickens, you know. They were just funny. But it looked so pretty.
Yeah.
And then, well, I said, I'll take them down to Madras and sell them. Well, I kept some food for myself, you know. I ate them anyway, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've had gardens out there where we've just had, I mean, the best. I mean, green onions with heads like, bulbs like this. And,
where's your garden in that
just a little farther up on the same slope.
Right, just a little bit farther. But, all kinds of carrots.
The trail there up that river, the there's a sag there that holds water in the spring when the snow melts. That couldn't be it, could it?
Yeah, really. It's right in that little
round. Right. And it's been a really good garden. I mean, it's lots of the carrots, real big carrots, real good and. Not lettuce.
That old boat that I had made in the morning.
Yeah. In fact, it's got trees like this growing right through the... It's laying down on the shore of the lake and it's got trees growing right through it.
It blew away from me one time. and I found it way out in the rocks, upside down, and laying there when the water was hitting, the water railed.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I
rolled around, and I could pull from one lady to the other, you know. And my heart was like, you'd better stay home and listen when the dog spoke.
Yeah.
I said, everything straight out.
I'll bet.
Without putting the foot out of the door. I had the gun sitting right there.
Listen to those dogs.
And then Moose would come in and stand there looking at the dogs, and the dogs would be yakking.
And they just stand there.
Yeah, well, that saves a lot of packing.
It does, doesn't it? It sure does.
Yeah, I wound up by going out. I won't meet right away, you know, couldn't wait to see. I'd go out and I'd kill a moose about 2 miles out and be packing it. And then come home and find
what
to hear you hear them, the dogs, and you wail out and back barking down at the home. And then you come in and see where the moose would be right there.
Right there.
If you'd only stayed home.
It takes a long time, but you wise up.
Yeah, it does take a long time sometimes to wise up. What you're saying. Bet you were pretty wise by the time you left. That's good.
There's one, probably one of your old dog sleds sitting right outside the old cabin too. It's not in too good a shape anymore.
Yeah, I left the sled there. It was all right when I left it there. I built the old sled and boats.
Built a lot of things.
I built a lot of boats for myself in McGrath, and then somebody bought it.
So you had to build another one, and then
something. I always had a new boat every year.
Do you ever see anybody down here from Alaska? Any of your
people
come through? Not too often,
it's
huh?
It's been a long time since East Duncan's, you know, that wrote that letter.
Uh-huh.
He came by here. He came out of Alaska and they went clean down to Globe, Arizona.
Oh.
And he stayed there 1 year. And it was too cold for him.
Really? That's the way it works lots of times.
So they come by here, you know, and the oldest daughter with him. He had it. A pickup with a big, a canopy.
A camper, that, yeah.
That was all loaded, so there was three of them in the front seat. And Rachel, that's the one that's mentioned there, that the daughter, she's a good driver. He's more like a man, like a woman. He's a good mechanic.
He
could fix you and you know, anything.
They were lucky to have her along, huh? Now, how do you know them? How do you know them? Are they from, Anchorage, but how?
I knew them all in McGrath.
Oh, they were in McGrath.
I knew Rachel since she was 3 months old.
Oh, dear.
She was born right there, you know.
Yeah. Right there, boy.
And Duncan, he came up to Alaska maybe in the 30s.
Mm. Yeah. Anchorage has really grown. Anchorage is a very big city now. It's a lot of people come in, you know, to make their fortune.
Well, it was a good life. You forget about money and all the crowns in your own. You get out in the hills and have any money in your pocket, you put that up on your shelf, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we always were so amazed at with you, everything you built around there, how ingenious you were, how you thought of, you did so much with so little, you know? You say you don't need the money when you get out there, you just work. It's great.
I don't know, there's probably a whipsaw hanging there or something.
Yeah, and a go devil.
Yeah.
And McDonald's was smart. I think He helped me so from it, I can do that. You know, it's a terrible job. He was, you know, and I was in tough. Well, he had to walk away, you know, his arms got so sore. It's just like pulling a boot.
Yeah.
Now you got some creek to pull, now we only had to come up the last creek, the Sullivan Creek, go up to where the creek crosses the tail. And we'd pull Jim and I, and we'd have, Brayton, we'd both have to get overboard, you know, on this fine gravel or river, you know, and then get over there. And then logs across underneath, and you had a saw and axe and that, your way through it. And then pull, get down, and just risk as hard as you could, all day
long. Oh, man.
Well, but just by the time, well, long before you get pulled in, you know, you got your pulling done. It's the same way with sawing a little lumber, you know.
Yeah.
When it get broke in, so it'd be nothing to it, or then you know.
You're finished with the job, yeah.
As soon as you get really good at it. Yeah, that's the truth, yeah. Jeez. Got plenty of them, jeez.
Yeah, well,
you know it.
It's only a light thing.
Yeah. But I think it's so much that when you have everything, even at Farewell now, my father has a lot of equipment out there and, you know, a lot of things there.
Well, you've got tractors.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot, you know. Everything he owns, basically, is...
Curtis, he had a tractor, and he had the neighbor build that. He got some neighbors from Nikolai.
Yeah, he had neighbors
from
Nikolai. Yeah,
he came out, him and his wife came out one time when I was living in Montana, down in the coast of California. He came out, and I worked in St. Carlos, and I had a time over the hill all the time, you know. And he found out where I lived, and him and his wife, they flew in, was around St. Carlos Airport in the bay, and they rented the car and came out, and they had their daughter with it. She was a young girl then. He's married and lives in Anchorage. And we went to every place. Bob Curtis is a crazy guy.
He is.
What?
I don't mean anything wrong about it.
I know
what you're saying.
It's like school board, you know.
Yeah.
Not done before, you know. Nothing would do, but we had to go to the top of the mark in San Francisco. Yeah, he wanted to go there too. We got in the car, you know, the way he drove. Scary. Pretty sober too, I mean.
Right.
It was crazy. And steep hills. He'd just let it go whoop. And then he'd get on the brakes.
At the last minute.
Down at the bottom, you know.
Did they call him the Bald Eagle for all the time that you knew him?
What?
When they called him the Bald Eagle?
Well, they called him the Bald Eagle in the grass.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
I didn't invent that name.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he likes it down there where he is now, too.
Yeah, well, he's looked upon Bob Bizarre.
Yeah.
He's got a fishing lodge now.
Right, right. Yeah, he enjoys that a lot, I guess. It's
doing pretty good. That should be a good spot.
Oh yeah, you know, and the fishermen come in and out, and I mean they're very busy. Yeah, tick ticks. Yeah, keeps them real busy, I think. All of them down there, like you say, though, it's nice that Farewell has never been like that. So many people would be there if there was such good fishing. It would be the only thing that saves it even now. You know, like you say, nobody knows that there's fishing, right? So there's not that many.
Yeah. Just sitting here, old man, and here Farewell walks in on me.
Yeah, really?
The old and new from Farewell Lane.
Yeah. Really? The latest from Farewell Lane.
When I was building this place is going to be famous someday.
Yeah.
It will be my time.
It already is, though.
It is.
And you're our hero.
I'm just building a good place to start it here for somebody else.
It must feel good to build something that lasts and lasts, you know, something that stays through time like that, you know. It's you have become a legend up there through the whole valley up there, you know. And Scott, I think, heard that you were living down in Florence from a friend of yours, McGrath.
What?
Scott Miller.
Yeah.
He found out that you were down here in Florence from a lady friend that you had.
Oh,
in
yeah, that's Mrs. Nashville.
Yeah, she told him.
Yeah,
that.
She comes out. She hasn't been out for quite a few years.
Yeah.
You know, she used to come out.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the winter.
So that's yeah. Otherwise we didn't know where you went, you know, before that. You know, it's didn't know if you. Well, you never went back to Denmark or any.
I went to Denmark. 3 times in 10 years.
You did?
First time in 68, and then in 73, and then in 78.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Huh. Was it nice to go back?
No. Well, you know, I'm too old to travel. The last time I was hit pretty bad with my legs giving out. You know, it's awful hard in these airports now.
No, they're so big.
It's just a madhouse, you know. They get off of that airplane and then they run right away and they didn't know where they went.
That's the way they are. That's the way they are, you're right.
Copenhagen Airport is just as bad.
I've been there. That is.
It's bad.
It's huge. It's so big. By the time you get off the plane and try and find your other plane, it's gone. You know? Yeah.
Well, in Copenhagen there is still a fella see me and he says, do you need help? And he says, I could use some help. Well, he says, you just sit down here. He says, I'll pick up your baggage.
That's nice, yeah.
You have to go to Copenhagen. You have to go from the international airport to the domestic airport.
Right.
It's in the same area, and there's a shuttle bus. You can ride or you can walk out. It wouldn't be too far, but
yeah.
By that time, my legs were already getting bad.
Yeah.
So
did you go to your hometown there?
I saw my hometown. I saw the house every time I was over there, the house I was born in and everything.
Oh.
My sister and to my nieces from my older sister, you know.
You hadn't seen them in a long time. Why?
Yeah.
70 years. You left in 1915.
I saw the creek where I used to catch trout.
Yeah.
Stinking so bad now, so polluted.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet. Boy, what a difference something like that must be,
yeah.
Huh? That many years? Different, would you say? The trout long gone. Yeah. Time changes things, but it's still nice to have all those memories of.
What?
Time changes things.
Oh,
but it's nice.
The world is a completely different world.
Yeah.
From when I grew up, in a completely different. There wasn't. Well, I've seen some few cars in Denmark.
Yeah.
And some Henry J's, you know, what Henry J's. Ford, you know, over here, you know, in Iowa. But there wasn't a highway across this country, you know.
Now there's many of them.
And there wasn't any pavement in most of the towns, and very little in the cities, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All that, well, there was nothing. No TV, no radio, no. It's all come on.
Oh. So much, yeah.
No trouble.
It was a lot easier, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Much less trouble.
Yeah. Well, it's like I think too, back like when you were at Farewell, it's a matter too of not having everything right there, so you have to think to try and do something. Now now the way so much the world is, you've got so much, a lot of people don't have to think so much about what they, you know, if something breaks down, they don't have to really think to, they can just call a repairman, you know?
Well, in the early days, you teach it, you have to learn.
Right.
You have to learn anything you need, you have to make it.
Right. And that, yeah, yeah. That's great.
And it's surprising. Most people can make it. They just don't think they can, but when they feel it, they serious and go at it, they could make it.
They could do it, if they had to.
Yeah.
I think you took good care of your dogs. You had all those little cubbies for your dogs. You know, a lot of people these days don't even hardly have anything for their dogs. A lot of people who have teams up there, you know. You enjoy having your dogs out there, not just for transportation, but with a lot of company, your dogs?
What?
The dogs that you had
out
there?
Well, the dogs, yeah, they always company.
Yeah. Did you ever have a pet dog that you brought inside?
What?
Did you ever have a pet dog?
No.
No.
They were all my pets in a way.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, pet them so much.
Right.
You know,
yeah, yeah, right. The one
at the top trail, you know. Stop them and go to my school, pet them a little, you know.
Yeah.
And then myself too.
Yeah, right. And yourself too. Really. Yeah. Big country up there.
Those here. Dog tail mushroom that I did a lot of mushies. They have the trail, I'm going to break out the trail mostly when they...
Yeah, they break all the trail, the whole distance. Have people break in different sections.
Yeah, helicopters and everything flying around.
Oh, yeah, taking movies, you know.
And they have stuff delivered to everybody.
Right, dog food.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that
much. Oh, yeah, it's very... I bet it was.
The dog wasn't that much. Everything was
themselves. They didn't have people.
Well, they have roadhouses.
Right.
They have places to stop.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Quite an advantage. And then the dog, they went out there to kill the dogs. And I consider that raising the dogs that far is cool.
To do what now?
Raising dogs that far for money.
Oh.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, well, like you say, the dogs do so much of the dog.
Most of the mail carriers and all that, they would make, you know, in the springtime, I did make 40 miles. We didn't pass right by one of those dogs lots of times when the train was good, and he'd get real good, you know, with a lot of traffic on. But then they hit storms too. Especially over there, and I was squinting across the room in that thing.
Yeah, the lousy weather hangs in there. East River.
Well, since the station when we started out, there had been a team come through from the other side. And then the roadhouse keeper came up. Well, that would be the last one up in above the Pontero Lake. We come in with them, two big teams come through. And you, in the Birth Street over there, where everything is protected across the street, up in there, long ways through to the Birth Street and Birth Street. And the dog tail were down 5 feet down, you could hardly see over, you know, the snow was lying, so you could hardly see over the snow. There have been 3 days between two roadhouses and that dog was and his
pattern,
that fellow named Fullerton, he was a storekeeper in fact. And he had a camera out and Fullerton, he was sitting in the front of me, he couldn't do anything, he was an old jack. Jack to call him. He must have had a time in that stretch.
Is that a guy in the basket though?
Yeah.
I guess so. Did it get pretty cold around there? Did it get pretty cold?
Cold?
The temperatures? Did the temperatures drop?
Oh, yeah. Well, you get 50 below.
Yeah.
Not on the coast, though. If you will, any time you go in the coast of Cornwall, you'll be no wind and you won't get 50 below.
Yeah.
The worst I had there was 46 or 47 degrees.
Yeah.
In winter. I stayed there in that cabin for 23 days straight.
Oh, jeez.
And it never burst above 50 below.
Jeez.
I'm so 64.
23 days.
That's a pretty good cold spell.
That is.
And then it had been 2 weeks before that. That was just as cold.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get much tapping then.
I'll bet.
Oh, it was cold. I go out and get some wood in the morning.
Was that hard on the dogs? Okay. Hard on the dogs?
Well, no, most of the time I had a, I'd bring them out over in with a boat, you know.
Yeah.
That is, I'd go way around and then cut it and all like that pool stuff, you know, full length.
Mm-hmm.
Except the very small stuff. And then I'd tie it behind the boat, you know. But I used to tie it and have slack, you know, and it don't work. It's just jerk in the boat. So I pulled it up alongside the street and tied it tight so there was no give. And then you could roll it in the line. And then you could wait two or three when you had a north wind and set it. Sailing up.
Yeah.
It didn't help, you know. And then you get in there, you just get the top of four out to the top of the right there in the front of the cabin.
And down.
Throw it up then. And some of it I hauled the dogs from up the ranges, you know, to the single bob, probably sitting around there and get. Is it?
There's a go devil there, but I don't remember anything else that I remember seeing.
You go along the bank and you can find some spruce trees come right there, perfect things, you know. You get two of them and cut them off and then just throw a bunk across them, you know, and bolt them on, you know. And then pile your heavy end up on there, you know, a deep one. Go flying with them, you know.
Come down
there. And lay up around, you know, and come right down. And you fall, and you're doing that in the fall, when you got to watch yourself, the dogs are crazy, you know. They want to take off.
Oh, yeah.
With a sleigh, you know, when you got a brake on it, you can kind of control it.
Oh, yeah.
But with that brake, you know, coming down to the lake, it's off.
You land the lake.
Yeah, you could get a broken leg, you know.
Oh, yeah. Probably pretty easily. That's good. Boy, that's great.
Yeah, well, you're young, you know. Nothing about it.
Well, like I say, it's really, I think that it's one thing probably that is sad about the advancement of progress and everything. People, things are so much easier. The easier they get, the less people really.
I think if you hold a mistake in this progress, it can go too far.
Oh, yeah. When you don't appreciate a lot of the things that.
Now they're building tilts now, like the video machine and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Junk.
A lot of junk.
It's no good for the kids.
Yeah.
And watching TV all the time.
Yeah, there's excess of a lot of things, you know, now. So it's really neat to.
You can't even go this year. Maybe now they're afraid you're going to disturb them from the TV.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a good commercial coming on. Yeah. Yeah, so it's... You go to a place like Farewell from like Anchorage, where we live in Anchorage, but we go out to Farewell and it's...
Have you found a good plane there?
Oh yeah, my father has two Super Cubs.
Super Cubs.
And a 180.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a tandem seating there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're great for up there.
I see they've improved us in the mountains.
Oh yeah.
Big wheels, but they always have big wheels.
Big tundra tires, yeah.
Do they have tandem wheels now?
No. Well.
Yeah.
Just the single ones. But it's and then we have a little.
Do you have floats?
He used to have floats. Right now he doesn't have floats. He had floats on both.
How is the airstrip kept open?
Yeah, it's kept real good, and then we have another strip too. My father put in a small one. We call it the little strip. So we have a small strip towards the river from the lake that he lands his Super Cub on, and then the big planes come in on the other strip.
That's the main strip is the CAA deal.
Right. Yeah, and then in the wintertime, big planes land on the ice and bring in fuel, you know, during the winter.
There must be another kind of a ridge there.
Yeah, that little strip is right up off the end of the lake.
Right, it's just before you drop down to go into the other little lakes and down by the river there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works out real good. And the big one is kept open though, I mean, flowered or whatever, you know, keep it pretty free, so. It's like a little village. It looks like a little village, but it's not.
Yeah. Do you go to the
station?
For mail?
Yeah. Every Tuesday the mail comes in still at the station. Yeah, fly over there and we...
Snow machine.
Right. Snow machine or have the a thiacol, a big track machine.
Mm-hmm.
A thiacol, it's a track machine. We can drive over there in that too.
And he got some horses out there.
Now we have seven horses.
Horses.
Horses?
Horses there at Farewell now, too, yeah.
Oh, it's 100.
Yeah.
Who has them?
My father.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you make hay?
No. Just bring grain in for them, and sacks of grain. We ship
it. I bet you would clear the strip. The trouble of it is to blow away.
Yeah.
You probably grow pretty good roots.
Yeah. You're right, if the wind didn't blow the seeds away before they took her out.
Chance.
Take the moss and stuff off.
Yeah. But seven horses out there now, so, and big barn for the horses and corral. But.
I see it looks to me a little, well, it's all grown up with willows alongside the big strip.
Oh, yeah, along the big strip, yeah.
Otherwise you could have an oak tree.
Oh, yeah, right. If it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, you could.
Yeah, there's a lot of room there.
Yeah.
It's pretty wide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's real wide, yeah. Yeah. It comes in handy having a big strip there, too. Yeah. It's real nice.
No, there's no hay meadows close up.
Not too close.
Along the Tuscaquimber.
Yeah.
The red top. He used to cut a lot of hay along them for horses when the first was in there. We had a lot of horses in Dakota and Newfoundland and out in the creeks. Cannell Creek dredged out there, they had, I think, three span of horses, big horses. They hauled wood in the winter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had Scott Marine water, I think they had eight of them sitting on the bank of them. Cut, you know, but it's all ground, you know, ocean ground. They had to drive bars, you know, to test
mm-hmm.
it. But frost, you know, the dredge couldn't drink frozen. So they'd be spotted, and they'd find them with a bar, and then they'd put a steam pump down, you know, and all these boilers were sitting up there.
Oh.
I think you had 2,200 cords of wood there one time.
Merry Christmas. Whoa. Your dad had a lot. Yeah.
Yes, it's anchored, you know, when I come in there in 20, there were maybe about 1,500 people there. It was only 5 years old.
Oh.
Anchorage was laid out by the army in Geneva.
Yeah.
And the railroad was being built by the Indians.
Yeah, it's considerably bigger now. There's about 150,000 people now.
Well, now that big military is
still
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a lot. And
yeah.
It's the main point in Alaska as far as any.
Yeah. Air Force Base and the Army.
Right, both of them together. Yeah. Yeah. The whole area has really grown a lot.
Yeah,
it sure is. It's just like the big cities down here.
When the oil runs out, just like it said in that letter about Tim Ebenezer, did you read that? I enjoy naturally.
That's good.
To hear about the old place.
Oh yeah.
See that it's prospering.
Oh yeah, it is.
And it remembers you.
It does. It does remember you. Okay. A legend.
Well, that place Curtis built there, that's a nice place.
The lodge? Mm-hmm. My parents live inside
I
the lodge.
I never was in, but when I was up there one time, and, that was the second time I came from Denmark. The first time I came through, no, it was the first time, 68.
Yeah.
And I flew over to McGrath, and you probably know or heard of him.
Magnuson?
Hmm?
Magnuson?
Not Magnuson. No. I never knew Magnuson because he worked in mining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over. He built himself a house down below McGrath about 2 miles from the bank.
I don't know where that would be. Yeah.
You're not too well acquainted with McGrath.
That was McGrath.
Yeah, really was.
We've been there, in and out of there, but
down,
not.
Down towards Red Devil?
Huh?
Down towards Red Devil?
Huh?
Was he near Red Devil?
Red Devil.
You're familiar with that? That's a.
I know, that's down the river, you know.
Yeah.
No, but it's still built in McGrath, just a few miles down on the high ground there he built, and he's married, and it's funny, I can't think of anything. Well, he took me up, he took me up to Farewell Lake.
Mm.
And there was nobody there, the landing stick. And I could look in through the window.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I could. It seemed funny that they wouldn't be covered.
Oh, but they're big windows in the front and there's nothing on, there never has been.
And then it was inside.
Yeah. What time of year was that? Mm. What time of year?
In July, I think.
In July, and nobody was there. Huh.
68.
Yeah. That was just before my father bought it. My father bought it, I think, in
there was nobody there. Could in the cabin, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was dirty.
Yeah. I think Bob, just before Bob sold it to my father, he wasn't there very much.
Well, when that cabin was built, the native stayed in the old cabin.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why it was left rather good. Oh, yeah, it's all kinds of stuff.
Well, he had that factor and he had an opportunity to go some distance and get good loans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's power to haul them in.
Yeah. Like, but the door is very short. The natives built the doors and they're all very short people, you know? You have to walk in.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, that's standard door.
No, it's not. It's not like the old cabin. They
just built that way.
Yeah, they just built there. And the windows are low. The windows are low too.
Oh.
You know, everything is low. It's their height.
Yeah, well,
it's,
I don't know. Maybe Curtis wasn't all there all the time they were building it.
Yeah, he may have
not been.
Yeah, so I don't think and he probably fit in the door, so he didn't see the whole lot of
it. I think Bob Curtis was doing
better. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Einar, can we take you out to lunch somewhere?
No.
You sure?
No, I don't feel.
You don't feel so good, do you? Yeah.
Is there anything we can get you? Would you like us to run the town?
Get some? Well, I get lots of help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
I can go shopping, you know.
Yeah.
When I pick the right day. Some days I wouldn't feel like it.
Yeah.
I just shop once a week about. Safely downtown.
Yeah. No, that's nice to be able to have your own transportation. You have a car and you have your own place, so that's real nice. Yeah.
So you wanna?
Yeah.
Where are you headed now?
We're heading down to California.
Just on vacation. Yeah. Looking for some sunshine.
You have been to California.
We've
not
been there before,
much.
But it's been a long time.
Going down the coast?
Yeah.
Have you seen some beautiful redwoods?
Yeah.
You haven't seen?
No.
Well, then you'll see them. You can take off from that freeway kind of along.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in that and you get hardly any traffic. You know,
yeah.
You can just.
Really nice country.
It
yeah.
Is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know now. It might be raining. It's been terrible.
It has.
Even worse than here.
Yeah, real bad weather. Floods. A lot of flooding in the city.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You washed out the roads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you can't get through the redwoods so good now. They had a big flood in 64, I guess. And you can still see the marks on the trees. They were up 40 feet on them big redwood trees.
Oh my gosh.
Along the road.
Jeez.
40 feet. Up the tree.
Jeez, Christmas.
So, see what happened. What happens, you know, the water picks up all the stuff laying.
Right, right. And
it
which makes it...
The bunch and then
right.
Yams it.
Yeah, right.
Yams it sometimes.
Right.
Large yams.
Yeah, that's true. They're like, that bone gets so high, but my God, 40 feet.
A lot of water.
Yikes, yikes, you're not kidding, gee, that's a lot.
I was down there a year ago. Pretty rough road all the way.
Yeah.
Down the coast here in Oregon.
Yeah. But it's nice to see the ocean, though.
It's beautiful spot there around there.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You get the southern part down Gold Beach and up this way, and then below Gold Beach, you pretty well get away from the ocean. You don't see it anymore.
No, it's beautiful. Well, I sure hope you get to feeling better.
Well, I don't know. Thank God, I don't know.
Thank God. All right.
But we will send, we'll send you some pictures of Farewell, okay?
Yeah,
you'll see some of the way it is now. You say it's the old cabin. The old cabin isn't different. Inside is very much just the way it is.
It's old and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's.
I thought maybe the bottom wall would be too thin, but it doesn't matter if you get a little salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's held up.
Yeah, really.
Beautifully.
It keeps pretty dry, you know. But it's so warm in the winter.
Yeah, it's a good warm cabin.
Boy, thanks for the coffee. And all the sweets.
Really?
Oh, thank you for coming.
Gosh.
And if you want to come again.
Okay, well, we appreciate it.